Matthew 14 and verse number 25. The Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is the spirit, and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, recording what you do in the Bible. And thank you that we can read about many of your children that have been here before us, great men, great women of the Bible. We can read about their exploits. We can read about their successes. But Lord, thank you that you also include, dear God, the very human element of these folks. And I pray that that would be an encouragement to us today as we look at someone who messed up some and failed some and fell some. Lord, but you still used him in a great way. And I pray, Lord, that we'd leave here encouraged. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning. Failure doesn't make you a failure. Failure does not make you a failure. You know, I have said in the past that I think maybe Peter, I'll ask him when we get to heaven, if he had a life verse, and some of you have, maybe some of you have, as you were reading the Bible, God early on in your Christian life just gave you a verse that you just kind of claimed as your life verse. My dad had a life verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. My mom had a life verse, Philippians 4:13. By the way, those two life verses and the fact that my parents talked about them so often, I think greatly influenced my life. I was led of the Lord early on. I mean, as a 17-year-old young man, freshly called into the ministry, God called me to preach. He brought me to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And I guess if you were to ask me, if you have a life verse, I guess this would be it. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What a privilege, what a grace that's bestowed upon anyone who gets to spend their life preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so, but I've often said if Peter had a life verse, it might be Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The Bible is very honest about Peter. And I could take you, the reason I kind of went back to Proverbs chapter 24, I can take you to seven different times. I'll just mention them. We won't go look at every one. But I can take you to seven different times in the Bible where Peter just messes up big time. I mean, he just really drops the ball. He falls. And he was a just man. He was trying to do the right thing. The one thing I'll say about Peter is this. Even when he messed up, he was at least trying to do the right thing. And, you know, folks, I want you to be encouraged by this. I feel like that God led me to this message very specifically during the month of January as we're beginning a brand new year. Because I can tell you something about Jerry Ross. I'm not going to get it all right this year. I'm going to mess up sometimes this year. I'm going to want to do the right thing and try to do the right thing. I promise you, I mean that. But that doesn't mean I'm always going to get it right. And the one thing that I think God put in this in the Bible was some of Peter's mess-ups, so we can be encouraged. He fell flat. A just man falls seven times. Well, he kind of fell here when he was trying to walk on the water. And yes, he did well while he had his eyes on Jesus. And boy, you've heard this preached and taught. What a lesson for us, you know. Folks, listen to me. We keep our eyes on Jesus. You know what? All the miraculous things will take care of themselves. And next thing you know, we'll be able to do things that we never thought we could do before. But because we are human and the storms of life come Isn't it so easy sometimes to get our eyes off Jesus and onto the waves and onto the storm? And next thing you know, that thing that started out in strong faith becomes little faith. And you know what, though? Even in failure, he did the right thing. Hey, folks, if you start to fall, call out for help. Call out for help. And so when he began to sink, he said, "Lord, save me." You say, "Preacher, that's not a very long prayer." He didn't have very long. He had to get to the point pretty quick here, you know. And sometimes you're going to be in the middle of something and it's going to be about that. Help me, Lord. That's going to be it, the whole prayer. Aren't you glad you can just pray a three-word prayer and God, Jesus, just reach down, pull you right back up, help you out. But you know, some people would say he messed up there. You know, I'm kind of torn between it because the people that want to criticize him for sinking, the Bible does say he walked on the water. I kind of want to look at him and say, "Well, you ever done that before?" You know, I haven't. I'm not sure I would have got out of the boat. The fact that even popped in his mind, you know, he watches Jesus walk on the water. That looks cool. Hey, can I do that? You know, I don't know if I would have done that or not. Matthew chapter 16, we see he messes up because he begins to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, not a good idea, okay? Wow. Bible says in Matthew 16:21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Next verse, folks. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Now, verse 23, wow. But he turned and said unto Peter, Jesus turns and says unto Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, if Jesus calls you Satan, that's a bad day, all right? You probably have messed up pretty good when Jesus turns and looks at you and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And by the way, if I interpret that right, you know what? The devil kind of was using Peter at that point to try to discourage the Lord from doing what he was sent to do. Boy, that gives me pause to think, I better be careful what I say to other people. You know, I got to make sure that, you know, the things that's coming into my mind, out of my mouth, is coming from the Lord, because I think just about all of us, if we were honest, could probably look back at something we've done in our life where we told somebody something and then later on thought, you know what, that wasn't biblical advice. That wasn't good advice. And man, did the devil just use me, you know, to point somebody in a wrong direction? Well, I think in 2025, you know, let's be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to speak. Let's really think before we say something, especially folks, listen to me. We all have, everybody in here will have somebody, and probably many times in 2025, come to you for advice. You know, when somebody comes to you for advice, wow, that's a big deal. And if we're not careful, that can appeal to our pride, and I want to give them what Jerry Ross thinks. But boy, what I need to do is when they ask for advice, think, well, what does the Bible say about that? What would Jesus tell them to do? And so, yeah, that's pretty bad. And then we see that when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, you remember that in the upper room right before he leaves and goes down to Gethsemane, that Jesus is going one by one and washing the disciples' feet. Boy, what a picture that is. We can learn so much this morning. Isn't the Bible so rich? One of the last things Jesus did, wow, was to get a pan of water and a towel. You know, I preached a message one time, bring your towel. Bring your towel. Boy, if we could get this mentality in our Christian life. Here's the Son of God, and he's getting down on his knees as he's washing the feet of the disciples. And he said, you know, I did this because I want you to go and do that for others. What a blessing. You know, Jesus said the servant is greatest in all. And you know, the people that are working behind the scenes at Blessed Old Baptist Church and do it every single week in ministry, and I mean, from the person that cleans the toilet and runs the vacuum cleaner to the people that are baking treats every week to give to bus kids so they got a homemade treat to eat on the... I mean, folks, listen to me. You know, if you're doing that, you're doing the Jesus thing. You are being like Jesus Christ, you know. That's pretty awesome. And so, but here's Peter. It says, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Oh, here we go again. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said, Lord, wash not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I mean, you talk about the pendulum, you know. It's just, okay, you're not washing me. Well, then I have nothing to do. Well, then wash me all. He's like, listen, I just want to wash your feet, okay? You go wash your own hands, okay? Wash your own head. And, and you know, he just spoke up, messed up. And I keep thinking of a young Jerry Ross. And, yeah, I did a lot of that in my life. So, again, it's hard for me to throw rocks at Peter. But, you know, he messed up and kind of embarrassed himself. You don't think at times like this when sometimes we say the wrong thing and we say it in front of everybody and then the devil sits on our shoulder sometimes, tries to discourage us and belittle us and you know, you can't do this and you can't be a disciple. And here you rebuke Jesus and he called you the devil. You tried to walk to Jesus and you sank. And now he's trying to teach you something and you're not thinking about what he's trying to teach you. And you're getting in the way of that. And then we go on, Matthew chapter 26, he fell flat when he fell asleep in the garden. And folks, that's Gethsemane. I reread this story this week, and man alive, I was really convicted about it. Because here Jesus was probably, we see so much of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong, folks, he was all God, all man. He wasn't 50-50, he was 100-100. But we see very much the humanity of Jesus Christ, and he looks at his disciples, he takes the inner three, by the way, John, James, and Peter, and brings them closer. And then he says, pray with me. Just pray with me for a while. And he's over there sweating great drops of blood. He's wrestling with this idea, begging God for strength, asking God, if there's any way for this cup to pass from. Listen, I don't think Jesus, I'll just tell you Jerry Ross's thoughts. I don't think Jesus would, people say, well, he didn't want to suffer. He didn't want to go through all the physical pain. Well, I'm sure the human part of him didn't. But I think that the cup he was talking about, folks, we'll never know because we're sinners. But you know what? The holiness of God and for Jesus Christ to become sin for us who knew no sin. You know, for him to become sin, I mean, I don't even know if we can register what that was. And so he's over there in anguish. He's over there. This is one of the most, I mean, this is his Gethsemane. We use that phrase in life once, two times, three times. I don't know. You're going to have a Gethsemane moment where, you know what, you need God like you never knew him. And you're wrestling with something that's so big. And this isn't some little thing. And sometimes you ask people to pray for you. And I thought to myself, how many times has a prayer request come over the prayer chain? And I always try to, folks, just right then pause and pray because, you know how it is. You mean to. But I think, have we really prayed and stepped up and prayed for each other like we really need to be praying for each other? And I got convicted about that. And then I thought, here Jesus turns around after he's in anguish and he looks over and all three of us laid on the ground sleeping, you know. He went over and woke them up. And then he went back and prayed and they fell asleep again. And he asked this convicting question. I probably won't get it word perfect, but he asked them after the third time, he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And boy, that again, there's so much in these stories, you know. But here Peter, I think later on, he's like, Jesus really needed me. And I fell asleep. Jesus really needed me, and I gave in to what my flesh wanted instead of what he needed. You know, and so, you know, hey, folks, listen to me. Peter failed. And me and you are going to fail. But failure doesn't make you a failure. Think about that. Then we get to John chapter 18. Remember the story where he draws the sword in Gethsemane and decides he's going to solve the situation. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. I don't know. He's a fisherman, not a soldier. I don't really think he was trying to take his ear off. I think he was trying to chop him in two pieces. I think he was going for his head and probably just wasn't very good at it. And, you know, here he is. He feels like, I'm standing up for God. I'm standing up for the Lord. And then next thing you know, Jesus is rebuking him. Put up your sword And to the sheath, the cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? And even then, heals the man, picks the ear up, puts it back on the side of his head. And it's, next thing you know, it's like it was never gone. And again, Peter's like, man, I'm not getting anything right here, you know. Every time I think I'm doing the right thing, I'm getting rebuked for it. And I say something, and then I get rebuked for it. It's just like, you know, he's like all of us. He was a disciple in training, folks. Sometimes we forget that these men had 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 years. You say, well, that's a, well, you know, I went to Bible college. You know, 3 years into Bible college, I still didn't have my act together. I still was not getting it all right. And he was in training. And then number six, he denied. I mean, it gets worse, folks. He denies the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Matthew 26, and Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him saying, now listen to this story. Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. With an oath, he said, I swear it. You know, I don't know the man. After a while came unto him, they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, you just think of Peter in that moment, how he must have felt. I mean, you know, he's messed up before, but he got in a situation where he was hanging around a bunch of people that were enemies of Christ, and Jesus had been arrested, and the rest of the disciples have scattered, and you know, they're in there getting ready to pronounce death upon him and take him to Pilate, and he's out there, and, you know, hey, he followed afar off, and he wanted to see what was happening, but he got in a situation where all of a sudden, you know what, he got scared. Because if they're willing to kill him, maybe they're willing to kill me. And all of a sudden, he denies the Lord Jesus 3 times. And then curses, the Bible says, and swears. And then says, I know not the man. And the Bible talks about him going out weeping bitterly. Now, in that moment, if you'd have found Peter, I don't know where he went. Maybe he went out the edge of the garden. Maybe he went outside of the edge of town. Maybe he went in a little grove of trees somewhere, but he got by himself and he just wept. Now, as he's weeping bitterly, how do you think he's feeling right at that moment? I did it again. I blew it, only I really blew it this time. Jesus told me, I told him, I'll never deny you. And he said, hey, yes, you will. And something I swore I never would do, I did. I didn't do it just once. I didn't do it just twice. I did it 3 times and I swore and cursed while I was doing it. I think if you'd have went there at that moment, the devil was sitting on him pretty hard saying, you can't do this. You can't live the Christian life. Jesus made a big mistake when he chose you to be one of his disciples. You're a loser. You're a loser. When Jesus needed you the most, you know what? You fell asleep. And then you get up and you think you're going to solve the problem your way, and you get rebuked for that, and then you follow far off, and next thing you know, you're denying him and cursing him. And then in John chapter 21, after Jesus died, was buried, rose again, appeared to the disciples in his resurrected body, the Bible says this, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of the disciples. So think about that, 7 of the 12 disciples. 7 of the 12. And what do they say? Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now wait a minute, I can take you back to a story where Jesus came to Peter and Andrew, 2 brothers, and James and John on the same day, and went to them and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets and followed him. But you know what? They saw Jesus after he raised from the dead and hadn't seen him in a while and wasn't sure what to do next. And again, in a moment of discouragement, just said, you know what, let's just go back to what we used to do. Let's just go back to the old life. And you know the story. Jesus has to come to them and call from the shore. And next thing you know, Peter jumps out of the boat, comes swimming. He says, go help him with the fish. And you know what? Three different times, think about this. Three different times he asked him a question, you know, lovest thou me? You sure? You lovest thou me more than these? Caught 153 fish that day because Jesus told him which side of the boat to put the net down on. 153. Isn't it interesting that the Bible gave us the exact number of the fish? Because Jesus said, lovest thou me more than these? And look at 153 fish. That may not seem like a big deal to us, but that was their livelihood. That's how he made his living. So you're going to trade what I could use you to do for 153 fish. Which one do you love the most? Okay. And he denied him three times. Guess how many times Jesus asked the question? If you're going to deny me three times, you're going to answer this question three times. And, you know, again, you're Peter, can you imagine being grilled like that? And by the way, I could read that story, go on and read that story where, you know what, Jesus in the same portion of Scripture tells Peter that if he does follow him, if you do come back in the ministry and follow me, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what's going to happen to you. You're going to die a martyr's death. Now, what do you want to do? You think about that. Now, preacher, why did you go through all these stories? I'm not just trying to beat up on Peter. I guess I'm trying to help all of us to realize, you know what? Here's one of the men in the Bible that was used in an extraordinary way, and yet he messed up a lot. He messed up a lot. Let me give you a couple things to think about. Then I'm going to end the message by telling you some good things that Peter accomplished, all right? Let me just give you some observations. Number one, you are going to fail. And I'm going to fail. Okay, we're not going to get it all right. There's going to be those moments when we walk away from a situation and think, did I really say that? Or did I walk right past that? Okay, did I just do that? I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be one of God's. I told the guys at work I'm a Christian. The people in my family know I'm a Christian, and here I do this. Good. And don't you think the devil is going to come on to you at that moment, sit on your shoulder and try to get you to, listen, folks, listen, failure don't make you a failure. You watch any person, any Christian, listen to what I'm going to say. There's two things you want to watch a man about, and if he can handle two things right, then I'll tell you what, I'll tip my hat to him. I got great respect for him. Watch a man how he deals with success. Because success has messed up a lot of people. You watch a person how they deal with success, and you watch a person how they deal with failure. And if they can figure out how to deal with both of those things the right way, they'll probably go on for the Lord and do great things. So, but we're going to fail. Okay, listen, failure does not make you a failure. Number two, failure does not make you a failure. Not getting back up is what makes you a failure. A just man falleth seven times, but what? He riseth up again. And I got to say this, Peter failed while trying. I mean, at least he had a good heart and he was trying to do the right thing. And folks, listen, don't use this idea of you're going to fail, so I'm just going to go out and fail on purpose. You know, if we're going to mess up, let's mess up at least trying to do the right thing. Hey, let's try to walk on the water and let's try to keep our eyes on Jesus and let's try to say the right thing. And in the process of doing all that, we're going to fall short sometime. But I think this also, Peter failed while trying, but Peter seemed to always learn a lesson from every failure. Because folks, he may fail in different areas, but you don't see him making the same exact mistake the same again. And so if you fail while you're trying, learn a lesson from it. And after you learn a lesson from it, get it right with the Lord. Go to the Lord and tell him you're sorry for it. And then you know what? Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. Just get back up. I mean, what else can you do? There's no rewind button on life. I can't go back and erase past mistakes, but I can get them under the blood. I can make them right with the Lord. I can make them right with other people as best I can. But you know, at the end of the day, you just got to get back up. Preacher, I messed up today. Well, the sun's coming up in the morning. And God's going to give you a brand new day. A brand new fresh day, you know, and an opportunity to get it right or get it righter than maybe you did the day before. Number three, the greatest test of your character is what you do when you fail. When you fail. I want to say this, folks. I believe that I've learned more in life through failure than I have through success. And God will just let you fail sometimes. Because you know what? There's lessons to be learned. You know how many times when Peter in the book of Acts was serving the Lord, how many times did maybe he get in a situation where he was tempted to take his eyes off Jesus and all of a sudden he went, wait a minute, I made that mistake once. That didn't go well. Man, I was walking on the water. Things were going good. Next thing you know, I got my eyes off Christ. I'm not going to make that mistake again. You know, listen, young people, don't get discouraged. Don't let the devil beat you up when you don't get it right all the time. Okay, get it right with the Lord. You know, if we confess our sins, come on, amen. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, we've got a forgiving God. We got a God that understands. The Bible says, David wrote this, he remembers that I'm but dust. Okay, I don't think God's surprised when Jerry Ross messes up. I wonder sometimes if he's surprised the days I get it right, you know. But, you know, God knows who we are. God knows that we're going to mess up. But he's so good about picking us up after we mess up. I say this, and I guess I've said it a lot around the country as I've preached out. I serve a God that can take a mess and turn it into a miracle. And all he's got to work with is messes. But he can still turn out miracles through messes. Number four, I want to say this to all of us. Never kick a man when he's down. It's one thing to understand that we're going to fall. It's another thing to want mercy when we fall. It's another thing not to want to be judged. I say this a lot lately, but you know, never judge a person on the worst day of their life. Don't do that. But you know, as we kind of learn this about ourselves, let's learn it about each other. Amen. You know, somebody, all your brothers and sisters sitting around you is going to fail. Look right up here. This man that's talking right now, he's going to fail you at some point during this. Or I'm going to fail in some area of this life. And sometimes, most of the time, honestly, we fail privately. But sometimes we fail publicly. Yep. Well, listen, if somebody falls, I guess you can go over and kick them. Or you could go over there and help them up. Right. You could pray for them. Amen. You could love them. You could encourage them. You could go over and say, hey, I don't get it right all the time either. But God still loves you. God's not done with you. You know, I wonder how many people that have given up and are out in the world and just got to the point where they gave up because they believed the devil that they couldn't do it. So they just believed him. And maybe if one of us had walked along beside him just for a little while and just said, hey, God still loves you. God's not done with you. You can make it. You can get back up. Get back up. Give you this one. Great success often comes at the price of many failures. Great success often comes at the price of many failures. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, here's this guy named Peter, and here he tried to walk on the water and he started sinking, and God had to rescue him, and then he rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus called him Satan. And he fell flat by refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, and then he fell asleep in the garden when he should have been praying, and he pulled out a sword and tried to kill a man. And Jesus had to rebuke him. And he denied Christ three times and cursed and swore. And he quit the ministry for a while. And Jesus had to come get him out of a fishing boat and get him back where he's supposed to be. And so what in the world could God do with a mess like that? Well, let me tell you some things about Peter. Although he did sink, and he did, Peter did walk on the water. How about that? When Christ asked, but whom say ye that I am? It was Peter that answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, he didn't get everything wrong. He was the one that said that. It was Peter who Christ chose along with James and John as the disciples of his inner circle. It was Peter who was allowed to see the glory of Christ on the mountain of Transfiguration. It was Peter who raced John to the empty tomb. But John was faster, by the way. But he was one of the first to see the resurrected Lord. It was Peter who led the prayer meeting in the upper room after Christ's ascension. It was Peter who preached the great sermon on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people were saved. It was Peter who, along with John, was used to see a lame man walk in Acts chapter 3. It was Peter who stood with boldness in front of the Sanhedrin in Acts 4 and declared this about Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It was Peter who withstood Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. It was Peter who first carried the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, winning Cornelius and all his household to the Lord. It was Peter who God sent an angel to set free from prison in Acts chapter 12. It was Peter who was a clear voice of reason when the early church leaders argued over issues of law and grace. By the way, think about this. It was Peter who God used to pen two books of the New Testament. Think about that. How about these verses that God used him to pen? For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are, how about our theme verse? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, that guy that sank. And that guy that cursed and denied. And by the way, he should have wept bitterly. I'm not saying these things are okay. I'm just saying you can fail and not be a failure. God used him to write this. For even hitherto were ye called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes ye are healed. God used Peter to write that. He used Peter to write this, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You think maybe he learned that lesson somewhere along the way? Serving the Lord Jesus. He wrote this, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. God used him to write this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And I think somewhere along the line of all these failures, Peter learned some things. God had him write them down. He wrote this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You don't think Peter did a little bit about fighting and resisting the devil, having to get through those times of discouragement when the devil is trying to get him to quit because he messed up. He just plain messed up. And I'm going to do it. You're going to do it. We did it last year, folks. Forecast isn't looking good for 2025. And again, not because I want to. I'm going to try every day to do the best I can for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he deserves it. He deserves my best. He deserves it. But you know what? Somewhere along the line, I'm going to drop the ball. But folks, failing doesn't make you a failure. You know, think about this. History tells us that it was Peter who preached himself into martyrdom, opting to be crucified upside down because he did not feel himself worthy to die in the same manner that his Savior had died. Think about this. None of these wonderful things would have happened if he had fallen but failed to get up. So, Peter, what's your life verse? And maybe he would say to us, a just man falleth seven times but riseth up again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. Preacher, I'm really struggling right now. It just seems like the harder I try, the more I'm of a mess I make, of my Christian life, and the devil has come to me at times and just told me, you know what, why are you even trying? You can't do this. You don't say the right things when you need to. You don't do the right things all the time. You had an opportunity to stand up for Jesus, and you didn't. And folks, the devil's called the accuser of the brethren. And he'll come sometimes to us, and he'll just do everything he can to get us to quit. Hey, resist him. Say what Jesus said. Get behind me, Satan. And go on for the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us, dear Lord. We're going to launch into a brand new year, and we want to do the best we can for you. But Lord, we are going to fail at times, and I pray, Lord, that this message and these Bible principles and the example of the Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit will bring these things to mind throughout the year and will cause us, help us, Lord, to just get back up. Just get back up. Don't give up. Get back up. Don't quit. Just get right. Rededicate. Lord, I'm going to try again. And Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Help your people this morning, we pray, with these truths in Jesus' name.